From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. In recent years, California has spent an unprecedented amount to curb homelessness, yet the number of unsheltered people in the state has continued to grow to 170,000 people on any given night. The root causes are a wicked combination of mental health, substance abuse, sky-high rents, as well as a severe shortage of affordable housing, which can make tangible, effective solutions feel out of reach. But on March 5th, California voters will decide whether or not to allow the state to borrow billions of dollars, roughly 6.4, through a bond to overhaul the state's mental health system. It's called Proposition 1, and you have probably seen the ads for it. Governor Newsom calls it the last big piece to finding a real solution, but sides are split on whether it will be effective. Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg, as well as Sacramento County Sheriff Jim Cooper, are supporters of Prop 1, but there is also opposition, and that includes the ACLU, as well as a number of mental health organizations. It is a big, complicated issue. Cap Radio healthcare reporter Kate Wolf joins us to break it down for us. Good afternoon, Kate.
Hi, Vicky.
Okay, so Prop 1, if you open up your voter guide, it is far from leisure reading. The analysis, the policy language, I mean, it is a beast. Lives are very busy. Big picture, what are voters deciding on?
Voters are deciding on whether or not the state should borrow money to build capacity for more affordable housing and more treatment capacity for people with mental health or substance use treatment. And they're voting on whether or not to change how a particular tax on high earners is spent. That's called the Mental Health Services Act. It was passed in 2004, and it currently goes to counties to use for how they think mental health services should be best used in the county. So what it would do is it would change it so that they have to follow stricter guidelines that are imposed by the state.
Okay, so one piece is asking to borrow more money. The second piece is kind of shuffling around how existing funding is being spent when it comes to mental health services. How does this relate to homelessness and the growing number of people that are experiencing homelessness in California?
So this is, you know, a mental health bill, but it's really meant to target the situation on the streets with the amount of people who are clearly suffering while being homeless. So treatment not tents is the tagline that the governor has been using. He's also been really advocating about how this could help homeless veterans who might be suffering from PTSD. And essentially, it's not really going to be for the average person thinking about, oh, how does mental health care get distributed in the county? It's really about targeting this population of people specifically.
Given that Governor Newsom has, and as well as the state legislature, have devoted unprecedented spending and resources to curbing homelessness, to provide different resources, more stability for mental health and substance use. I mean, we're talking billions of dollars in recent years. So if someone's listening to this, they may wonder, why is Proposition the last big piece? That is what Governor Newsom calls it. What does he mean by that?
Right. So Governor Newsom calls this the last big piece of the puzzle, right? The piece that's going to make the picture all clear. And he thinks that the other pieces have already been laid. They're things like conservatorship reform, care court, things that make it easier to compel people into treatment. He says the flexibility has been provided. The dollars, you know, are now flexible to how we spend them. And so now we need more beds, right? So this, in Governor Newsom's eyes, is more places for people who are suffering from mental health and substance use disorder, more places for them to go.
When it comes down to the money, the $6.38 billion bond that voters will decide on, what do proponents like Governor Newsom or Mayor Daryl Steinberg, others, expecting that this money, what will it actually achieve in terms of housing and mental health services?
Right. And I think when we say bond, people's eyes glaze over a little bit. And just to make it clear, so this would be the state borrowing money that it will then have to pay back over the next 30 years. So every year the state will have to pay back $130 million. So for the next three decades. So what they hope it'll achieve is essentially 11,000 more places for people to go. So 4,500 new units of permanent supportive housing and 6,800 beds for mental illness and substance use treatment.
That seems like a drop in the bucket.
Right. Well, we do have 171,000 people experiencing homelessness in California on a daily basis. So this is really meant to target a certain population of people who are extremely ill.
Mm. Just this week, the Legislative Analyst's Office, we had this conversation yesterday, estimated that California is facing an even larger budget deficit, $73 billion. So where does Prop 1 fit into this fiscal picture and outlook? Is Prop 1 financially sustainable?
It's a good question. I think that's that latest news from the LAO. So there hasn't really been too much talk about the financial stability of it. But I think Newsom's main point is that it's going to come out of taxpayers' pocket. It's already coming out of taxpayers' pockets in ways like through emergency rooms, through jails, right? We're thinking in Sacramento County of building this annex to our jail because we have so many people who need mental health treatment here. And that's $1 billion annex that we're talking about building. So I think, you know, we disinvested in institutions in the 60s and 70s, right? We closed down a lot of institutions that were helping people with mental illness and in many cases warehousing people with mental illness, which is why they got shut down. But there wasn't a commensurate investment in mental health care. And so mental health practitioners and people involved in this space have said mental health has been underfunded for a really long time. And now's the time to say we don't want this money to be going through jails and prisons and going through the, you know, emergency rooms. We want to be targeted spending it on mental health care and substance use treatment beds for people.
So because of that disinvestment, I mean, taxpayers, Californians, I mean, we are already paying the human cost of what we're already experiencing in the state, but, you know, through other sectors.
Exactly. That's definitely the governor's point.
Mm. In your reporting also, I mean, the Sacramento newsletter just came out. You had a great write-up really explaining in a digestible way what Proposition 1 is. And one of the lines that you wrote was that California is facing a housing crisis rather than just a mental health crisis. Expand upon that.
That really came from my conversation with the Behavioral Health Services Director of Sacramento County. His name is Ryan Quist, and he left me with a really powerful idea of this. And here's his quote.
I think that we continue to make erroneous conclusions around the connection between mental health and our homeless situation. In our last point in time count, we had 9,000 folks that were unhoused. If we had 9,000 units sitting there unused, then we would have a mental health crisis. We don't have 9,000 units sitting there unused. We have a housing crisis.
So Quist says that when he and his, you know, other folks, outreach workers, go and talk to people who are living unhoused, they say the first thing that they want is housing. They are not looking for mental health services just yet, right? They want housing first. And I think that housing first idea is what defines a lot of conversation about how we should be getting people treatment, how we should be helping people, right? You can't think about your treatment plan if you're thinking about where am I going to sleep tonight, if you're thinking about how am I going to get food, how am I going to get my paycheck, etc. So I really think that when we think about this measure, Prop 1, it's not going to solve our homelessness issue. It's going to try and get the funds more specifically to the people who are most at need, like who could be living with friends or family if they had their situation under control. But it's not going to solve the homelessness issue.
Your article also mentions a UC San Francisco study that was, you know, was long overdue. It was a comprehensive study that really interviewed and looked at the percentage of people that are experiencing homelessness across California. I think the last study of its kind was done in like the 1990s. So it's been decades. What that study showed was that, you know, a lot of people who are experiencing homelessness, they do have a history of mental health conditions. They also have a history of substance use. So what does Prop 1 hope to achieve in addressing this combo?
That UCSF study, I think anyone who's, you know, interested in this issue should totally look it up, check it out. It has so much information about it's 3,200 people that they surveyed, asking them, how did you end up in this situation? Tell us more about your experience and your experience with substance use and mental health. And found that, 82% of people surveyed had experienced a serious mental health condition at some point in their lives. So this and of course, being homeless can exacerbate that, and being homeless can exacerbate this, substance use and introduce people to substance use and not help people get away from substance use. So Prop 1 is really trying to address the Venn diagram of people who are experiencing homelessness and serious mental health issues, and is really trying to get those folks help especially if they won't volunteer for services.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio healthcare reporter Kate Wolf about Proposition 1, which is on your March 5th ballot. The LAO, the Legislative Analyst's Office, that's a nonpartisan body within the state legislature, they also noted a shortage already that exists for places when it comes to needing mental health care, needing drug and alcohol treatment. Where does Prop 1 fit into this? How could Prop 1 help?
Yeah, well, I've done some research on or some reporting on ambulance patient offload times in Sacramento County. We know they're super, super high. I went to a summit the other week, and part of the reason that they're so high is there's a lot of people in the emergency room that need behavioral health care that can't get it. So they cannot be, the emergency room can't bring people to treatment beds because they don't exist, right? So it's causing, and a lot of people who have been found incompetent to stand trial in jails are not getting the care that they need to be returned to competency because there aren't enough spots. So Prop 1 is essentially just trying to build up the capacity of mental health treatment and substance use treatment so that people can, especially the confluence of the two, so that, people are not languishing in emergency rooms and languishing in jails and prisons.
When it comes to funding and even just like vacancy within the county, what did you learn from Ryan Quist, who you mentioned is the behavioral health director for Sac County?
Exactly. Quist says a lot of this money is now, would, if Prop 1 were to pass, would be used by the county to help people with rent subsidies and not to build new housing. And so he says it's really hard when we have the vacancy rate that we have in Sacramento County.
We have a vacancy rate of about, it's like less than 1%. We have staff that are having a hard time finding housing. And so to imagine finding affordable housing for individuals who don't even make as much as our staff make, that is a difficult prospect.
So it seems like that money that will go to the county may not go very far.
You also spoke with family members who have loved ones that suffer from mental health conditions, and they are supporters of Proposition 1. One of them is Elizabeth Hopper. Tell us about her.
Elizabeth Hopper's daughter is 34, and for the past 15 years, she's been really struggling to live a stable life. She has schizoaffective disorder, PTSD, a number of other mental health issues, and she has cycled in and out of all sorts of treatment plans. And Elizabeth Hopper, she says she wishes her daughter did get jailed and is now in a mental health diversion program. But she says there's an environment where people say, oh, it's good that your daughter got jailed because now she can get treatment, because it's so hard to find treatment, especially for people like her daughter who do not volunteer for services. Hopper says even though her daughter is really struggling, she will very often not volunteer. And so she is not eligible for services that are all only volunteer based. And so something that Hopper likes about Prop 1 is that it opens the door for some funding to go to involuntary treatment, which she says we need to change our attitude about involuntary treatment. Here's what she told me.
This is not about locking people up for good. It's about if you're ill enough where your brain doesn't think it's sick anymore, and yet you're in a completely different reality and your life is impacting, negatively impacting the spaces of other people, and there's an illness at at the base of it. Let's get the illness treated. That's the compassionate humanitarian thing to do.
Hopper thinks we've learned our lesson about institutionalization warehousing people for decades. We learned that back in the 60s and 70s. She says now what we need is for there to be a level of care that is very intense, sure, a locked facility, and appropriate step-down care so that once you leave that place, it's like rehab. You can get, you can start to get better over time.
In the last minute or so we have, I mean, we've heard from people who support Prop 1. Who's against Prop 1?
Groups against Prop 1 are people who are against involuntary treatment, groups like Disability Rights California, ACLU, and also the counties. The district, the California State Association of Counties are against Prop 1 because they say the counties are using the money effectively. They need flexibility. You know, they should be able to keep it.
Because essentially that money would go from the counties to the state, correct?
A portion of it would go to the state, but it would definitely be under much more state control than county control.
When it comes to the civil liberty aspect, what is the argument that's being made against Prop 1?
When it comes to civil liberties, the argument being made against Prop 1 is that when you have more money that's eligible to go to involuntary treatment, that treatment is less effective than voluntary treatment. And it can, in fact, result in worse outcomes for people if they are involuntarily treated instead of finally realizing I need to get treatment by themselves. But people like Hopper say, for some people, that will never happen.
Yeah, and that was her loved one. Kate, thank you so much.
Thank you, Vicky.
That is CAP Radio healthcare reporter Kate Wolf talking and helping us better understand Prop 1, which you will decide on. Registered voters will decide on the March 5th primary ballot. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.